Welcome to Accent of Women, a show by and about women from diverse cultures and languages right across the world. I'm Nida. On today's show, we'll be listening to a lecture by Dr. Marimba Annie, an anthropologist and African studies scholar, and the author of Let the Circle Be Unbroken and Urugu, an African-centered critique of European cultural thought. In this lecture, Dr. Marimba Annie speaks about the concepts of African womanhood. This lecture was given at Morehouse College in the year 2000 and is as relevant now as it was then. Have a listen.
What I want to do is to begin always at the beginning. Begin with the African worldview. Begin to create a context for us understanding what it means to be an African woman now here in Babylon, in the Ma'afa, to understand where we come from. And so let me begin with that, and a lot of the overheads will really be about that. Primarily, giving some information, and I know it'll be a lot of it will be new for people, but it's just to point the way to things that we need to study and we need to go into depth. And so that's assignments for all of us to do the research that needs to be done. Let's begin with the paradigm of healthy development for African people, the natural cycle of African cultural development, development of African civilization. Ma'at, we're going to begin in Ma'at, feel ourselves to be people who begin in Ma'at, and then using the rhythm of Ma'at, we develop African civilization. Ma'at being representing African wholeness, African health, the source of African being, truth, Ma'at, reciprocity, Ma'at. And this is how we begin, and then we develop our civilization. We do the work of that development, which is what our ancestors did. And in so doing, we need to periodically remind ourselves of who we are. This is what our ancestors would do when we were in a situation of health. And so that periodic cleansing and reminding and recentering is Sankofa. Sankofa, a term that we get from the Akan people, the Adinkra symbolic system, Sankofa, return. Go back, turn and go back, turn and go back and get, go back and fetch it, return to the source. All of this is in the meaning of Sankofa. And then we would continue our work. If you can see the cycle, becomes a spiral, it is a process, and we would move back again to Ma'at, which would inspire us again. You know, we drink from the well again to know what was the truth of our work as African people. And then we would move out again, and we would work again, and we would need to be renewed again, and we would cleanse ourselves, and that would be Sankofa. And what I'm suggesting is that the natural cycle of African cultural development is the alternation, the repetition of Ma'at, Sankofa, Ma'at, Sankofa, Ma'at, Sankofa, and so forth. And you see the umbilical cord, which is connecting us always to Ma'at, the mother. Ma'at, the mother. That divine female principle which inspires us, sets us off on our way, and connects us to the energy force of our beginnings, our wholeness, and our health. So it's in that context that we want to go quickly and look at some of the things that it has meant to be a woman in African health. The next one is just briefly to remind ourselves of Sheikh Anta Diop's work that has come to be called the Two Cradle Theory, which pointed to the differences, the kind of antithetical relationship or oppositional relationship between the African worldview and the European worldview. We don't have time to go in that in depth, but it helps us to orient ourselves. It helps us to give a context. And so he talked about these aspects of cultures, the environment, and then we look at the means of survival, we look at the lifestyle and so forth. And on one side, you see the Aryan development, which of course came later. It came after the Southern Cradle development. But then let's look at the Southern Cradle development, where you see a mother-focused, matrifocal, what he called matriarchal worldview and civilization. Matriarchal, a term being used here with some caution because it does not refer to the domination by women or dominance of women. He said that it referred to a society which was in balance and beneficial to the family, to both men and women. So you have balance and complementarity there. But you also have, very importantly, how essential women are for the survival of the group. And women, or the mother being seen as the stabilizing factor, also the legitimizing function. And there's an excellent article, since we don't have time to go into depth here, but I can refer you to other things, the work of my brothers and sisters, and Dr. Iva Carruthers is here in the audience, and she has an article that I just use all the time. There's nothing else to compare with it, which is The Attack on the Black Family. What is it? War, thank you. War on African Familyhood, but in it, and then also Africanity and Black Women, because there it's where she talks about the Heru being the principle of leadership, but Aset representing that legitimizing function of the authority in the society. So that we have to look at that, we have to understand that. The throne, where you see the symbol of Aset with the throne on her head. So this work of Dr. Carruthers is extremely important. And one of the things that's so important in the War on African Familyhood is she is pointing out to us that the whole dialogue or debate, really, about men opposing women, women opposing men, and so forth, that we have been exposed to has been put into the context that comes out of European cultural development. We can't understand ourselves in that context. That's not our lineage. So when we talk about or think about or try to work with the relationships between African men and African women, which is a very important thing for us to be dealing with, we have to put it in the proper context. We come from a context in which, as Job is showing here, the female principle, the mother principle, is honored, is seen as being not only necessary to the healthy development of civilization, but is seen as being the primary factor in terms of giving a rootedness to that civilization. That's what we come from. So when we want to think about ourselves as African women, that's got to be our reference point. Otherwise, we are suffering from cultural amnesia. And we are allowing somebody else's definition of reality to determine how we deal with each other. And it's been dangerous for us. So that's one reason I would be doing this work that we'd be doing here. So you see the difference between these worldviews. What we have to understand is that what you're seeing on, I think it's the left side of the brain, that's what that represents up there, is when you see male domination, subjugation of women, procreation not being important even, a problem with fertility, all of those things is not just is that European, but that is the danger of what happens to African people in Ma'afa. In other words, us in illness, we take on these behaviors. Yes. So we need to understand very carefully who we are and the difference between who we are and who the European is. So now, I just want to give some images and feelings about what it means to be an African woman, what it means to be to honor the mother principle, the mother consciousness, the female principle in African health. This is a sculpture, a piece that would be used in ritual to call on the power of the womb, on the power of life and of giving life. We used these pieces for real purposes. They were not objects just to be put on a wall, but they were to bring forth the energy of the mother. This energy affects how we think about the world, how we look at cosmology, the connectedness of all being in the universe, ontology, being in the universe, the science of spirit, women as the scientists, the spiritual scientists, and then the social organization, economic organization, political organization, and value system, which is within that womb, that is the cosmos, that is the society, that is the family, and then we have transformation, initiation, development, and stages of growth. All of this is using a spiritual principle, a female principle to think with. This is what we have to relearn to do. Now I want to look, and this not going to take a lot of time with this, but I want you to see how this is not just theoretical, how this is not just abstract, but how it becomes real in terms of African society. And here we're going to look at Igbo society just briefly and understand how we come from a tradition, a strong position of tradition, thank you. I knew that wasn't the word I wanted. Of political organization and political consciousness as women. This is a tradition of activism, of being aware of those factors which affect your life and acting on those, speaking on them, being in dialogue about them, thinking about them, and making decisions which affect your life. Among the Igbo, we have, if we look at one village, we have an organization called Otu Umuada. That organization is made up of all of the women who are born into that village. All of those women will come together, will meet, will organize, will make decisions together. And then we have an organization in that same village, which is Otu Inyamedi, Inyamedi. And that is all of the women who have married into that village. In other words, that's not the village that they were born into. It's the village that they married into. But then you marry into this village, so you're leaving home. You got to have an organization that represents you. You got to have something that allows you to come together and discuss the issues that impact on your lives. Okay? So we're looking at very sophisticated political organization. That's what I want you to see. Then, if again we look at, all right, what that would represent would be relationship between villages. So you see four villages we have here. And within each village, the Inyamedi would come together and they would make up Mikiri. Then we have the Umuada from all the different villages coming together to make up the Ogbo. So you see an organization of women that is beyond just their village. Let's have the next one. See which one that is. Okay, within a village, you would have, say you have the village divided up into sectors or quarters. You then have representatives from each of those quarters or areas that come together to form a council, which is the Ikporo Ani. You're seeing layers upon layers of political organization. This is all the women. Okay, now what I didn't say was that we're looking at a society which is organized in a kind of dual system, a complementary system. So where you have women's organization, you also have men's organization, and they're dealing with their stuff. The women are not dependent on the men doing their stuff. The women are doing their own. That is a typical pattern among African people that we have to understand. It didn't represent inferiority. It didn't represent conflict. In fact, it was to make sure that conflict did not happen. But it said that there are things that women need to do together, and that they could understand as being women, and there were things that men needed to do together. And the men didn't have a problem with the women doing that, and the women didn't have a problem with the men doing that. Okay, that's the pattern we're doing. We're using this Igbo example as a model, because it exists in other societies as well. Now, among this Ikporo Ani, when you would be chosen to be a representative, the things that would be looked for, that a woman who thought well, who spoke well, and who spoke out, and had the ability to articulate a position in such a way that it influenced decisions, it helped people to think, and so forth. These are the attributes and the qualities that were engendered in women, that were encouraged in women, that were developed in women. What are we seeing here? We're looking at a society which teaches you to affirm your femaleness in a way that is beyond your individual home, but which connects you to an association of all women, which then affects the entire society. This is what is encouraged among the women. So this would be a chosen group within a village. This next one is interesting. This represents the title-taking system among women. We're still in the Igbo. This represents mechanisms which would give confidence to women and would support them in enterprise, in their own development, in their activities, their creativity, their desire to do things, to contribute to the society at large. The title-taking system is that you would be honored and recognized by the society for achievements that were yours. Now that's important, because what it means is that these titles did not represent ascribed benefits or titles. In other words, you weren't given them because of what somebody else did. Okay? You achieved these things, and that's a difference. You weren't given that because you might have been born into a particular lineage, born of a particular mother, a particular father, or married to a particular man. This is based on things that you had achieved yourself, but the society is recognizing and saying that this woman has given to us, this woman has contributed to the wellness and the wholeness and the social change where it needs to be, to the political organization that is necessary in the entire society. Now, this is what we're seeing traditionally. I'm not talking about something here that came about because some European women who were feminists went over to Africa and said, you women need to be organized. I'm not talking about that. I want you to understand we're talking about ancient traditions, and I want you to see how sophisticated they are in terms of the political sense of the interaction of human beings in a social situation and how they affirm women. So here, the title-taking system is something that you would move from step to step to step, the highest being the Ichi Omaku would be the highest level that you could reach, and it would be marked by, people would know by the wrist bands that you would wear, the necklaces you would wear, the clothing you would wear, the way you would wrap your head. All of these things would indicate to somebody who didn't even know you, okay, well, here's somebody who is at that title. Okay, so you see how it is also a part, well, it is a part of the culture. All of this is the culture, and the culture is political. It has all of these factors. And then finally, let's look at this, and let me see how fast I can say this. In the complementary system, you have the OB, who is the male leader of the entire society. And then you have the OMU. OMU is like a term that means mother. The OMU is the head of the marketplace. She is the person in authority for women, for spiritual issues. The marketplace is like the most important place where people come together, where important decisions are made, where goods are gathered, distributed, where women are able to be involved and express their entrepreneurial skills. The marketplace is an extremely important, like the heart of the society, and the OMU is the leader of the market. This system is so intricate and complex, and we don't have time to go into it now, but I want to give you an idea of the OMU and her place in the society and what the market means. The term here is ahia for market. It is the gathering of the people. The OMU calls together the various Ikporo Ani. If you can remember, that was the council from the villages to come together when there are important decisions to be made. So we have here, among the Igbo, a decentralized, highly organized system of decision-making, the OMU being a central figure as the mother, and the various other representatives informing decisions that are made for the whole, and then them being taken back to the entire society for their approval. Now, this is something something that's interesting that I think we need to look at. And that is that we say, we use the term queen mother. But what I'm finding in terms of African society is that to say mother is to say queen. So that it's really in the language is being redundant to say queen mother. It is assumed. It's incorporated in the concept of motherhood. Because motherhood is a term that means so many things, but it is also, it's a political term. It's a cultural term. It means, it's like a set. It is the one who is responsible for the society in a particular way. The one who nurtures the society, the one who stabilizes the society, all of those things. So Omu would be queen mother. And of course, we know a lot of other terms. We know Asantehema. We know, you know, in every Iyalode. All of these terms we have in every African society, which is this mother concept. And this is part of what it means to be an African woman. This is the legacy that we must use to inspire our development, and that brothers and sisters alike must reclaim and learn to use in terms of the strengthening and rebuilding of African civilization.
And that's all we've got time for today. We just heard a lecture given by Dr. Marimba Annie on the concepts of African womanhood. Dr. Annie is the author of the book Yorugu, an African-centered critique of European cultural thought. Accent of Women is produced in the Melbourne studios of Community Radio 3CR with the financial assistance of the Community Broadcasting Foundation. The show is distributed nationally via the Community Radio Network, with special thanks to the Community Broadcasting Association of Australia. Music for Accent of Women was written and produced by George Kanjure. If you want to hear this show again or any of our previous programs, you can download the podcast from 3CR's website, 3cr.org.au. Go to the Accent of Women page and follow the links to this week's show. If you want to get in touch with the producers of the show, you can write to us at accentofwomen@gmail.com. You can also follow us on Twitter or like our page on Facebook. Thanks for tuning into the program. I'm Nita, and we look forward to your company again next week.